So we're starting today a stewardship series. Now, when I say stewardship series, you might want to grab your wallets or grab your phones if you want to give online or whatever. Don't go crazy yet. Don't go stir crazy. I'm not going to just talk about money. It's a part of it. It's one of the biggest things that Jesus ever talked about was money. You read through the Bible, read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus always talks about money. But as Wally and Pam already talked about, stewardship is so much more than money. I mean, look around here. This building, what is it? It's a gift. Look at the people to the left and to the right of you. What is that? They're gifts. The clothes that are on you, they are gifts. The breath you just took is a gift. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And when we see things in that manner, then we're called to be good stewards of that gift. We're called to use that gift and share that with others, just like that necklace. Stewardship is so much more than just giving of money. That's a huge part of it. But stewardship is recognizing that God is the giver of all that we have, all that we are, and all that we will be. And we're just called to be good stewards of that gift. So what we're going to be going through in the next 4 weeks, or 3 weeks, is Hebrews. Now, the sermons aren't going to be all about stewardship. They're going to be focused on Hebrews. And every week, we're going to be having a guest person come up and speak or be interviewed or have it be on the video screen. We're going to have somebody tell us about their stewardship ideas. But we're going to be going through the book of Hebrews. Who's read the book of Hebrews? Yeah, I don't want to read that book either. It's really, really hard. Think about when you open the Bible, what do you want to read? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are pretty familiar texts to us, right? They're comfortable to us. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John might have written it. More often than not, it was a disciple of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They actually didn't write that passage. But we want to hear the stories, or Genesis. We go straight to Genesis. Or if we're a little further along in our faith, we might go to one of the letters of Paul. We know that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to the church of Corinth. Or we know Paul wrote to the church of Galatians. We oftentimes don't want to go through Hebrews. And I have to admit, this was not my choice to go through Hebrews. It's a hard text. It has a lot of words, long paragraphs. It's like a run-on sentence that never, never ends. It is a doctrine, and it's just scary and hard. And it takes patience to read. So for us today, in order to get into Hebrews, I'm going to go through a little bit of a background, because as I kept learning about the date and the author and who it was written for, it opened up so much more of Hebrews for me, so I can understand what it might mean for me today. So, I have a couple questions. Does anybody know who the author of Hebrews is? Don't say the coffee pot. That's against the rules. You're supposed to laugh. It's supposed to be a joke. Thank you. Bad joke. Okay. Thank you. The author. Anybody know? Shout it out. Jesus did not write the book of Hebrews. Nope, not Paul. Some people would say Paul wrote it. More than likely, Paul did not write it. And we know that from reading through Hebrews. If you read through it, it talks about Timothy being released from jail. And Paul died before Timothy was released from jail. So whoever wrote it knew that Paul had already died, so it couldn't have been Paul. Some people say it would be Clement of Rome. He is somebody that is, he's an ancient church theologian. And some people say that he wrote it. But in reality, we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. This is what Eusebius, he's a church historian. You'll never need to know that name ever. But this is what he wrote. He said, "But as to who wrote the epistle of Hebrews, only God knows the truth of the matter." We have no idea who wrote the book of Hebrews. But the question is, well, when was it written? What date was it written in? Well, we know Paul died around 45 to 50 AD, and we know that this is after that time period. But if you keep reading through the text, we hear a lot of this priestly language, and we hear a lot about these people who are supposed to go into the temple and sacrifice an animal, be a high priest. Well, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, so we know that it was before that and after Paul died. So it's probably around 45 to 50 AD and 70 AD, somewhere in that time period. So it was written before Mark was even written, the gospel. So it's one of the earlier letters. But the most interesting fact is why it was written. Who was Hebrews written to? Does anybody know? Any ideas? Anybody know what a Hebrew is? A person of Jewish tradition, of Jewish faith. This was written to people who knew about high priests. When you read through this, you're going to see all this high priestly language. And you're going to hear about this guy named Melchizedek. Does anybody know who Melchizedek is? Random guy. Yeah, okay, yeah, we got a couple of yes. Good. Genesis 13 is when Melchizedek comes, and he gives bread and wine to Abram before he was even Abraham. And he points this Melchizedek out because this audience, see how beautiful this is? The audience knows the Jewish text so well. And if we read the Old Testament as well as the Jewish people would, we would get this. But sometimes we forget. The Bible is all interconnected. It's beautiful. So he's writing this to a Jewish audience that knows about high priests. And Melchizedek is the high priest of this time. And Christ is the higher priest. That's where the connection comes from. Christ redoes this high priestliness. He is the priest and he is the sacrifice. You see the connection now? But it also is written to this Jewish people. They are oftentimes, in this and for Hebrews, they were the second generation Christians. So they weren't the first converts. And this book wasn't written to convert the people. So like Matthew and Luke are written to convert people to experience God and experience Jesus. Matthew was written for Jews, and they have a lot of Jewish language again. Luke was written for the Gentiles. So it was written in, they have pagan language, and it was something that they're familiar with. So for Hebrews, it's written for a Jewish audience that would know the Hebrew language and know the Hebrew experience. But it was also written for the second generation Christian. So they know about who Jesus is, and they grew up in the church. They grew up in it. They were raised in it. They knew about breaking bread together. They knew about Jesus. And they sometimes became a little lackadaisical. They became very comfortable in their faith. So that's really important. Really, really important. I'm missing a slide. That's okay. That's really important to know as we keep going through Hebrews. Because in Hebrews, he actually talks about that the community had been lax. They have been comfortable. And they begin to drift. They begin to drift because they're so comfortable. So here it is. So he writes this in Hebrews, chapter 10. I'm not going to go through all of it. But he says, how may we spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So in this passage, the people of Hebrews, they oftentimes struggle with coming to church. They struggle with getting involved in this small group. They have the same struggles that we have. They have lives outside of church. They struggle with this. And he even says some are in the habit of giving up meeting together. So if those of you who don't come to church too often, this might be a letter directly related to you and even to me. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, encouraging one another to gather together, to meet together, to study together, to break bread together. So all of that is really important as we read Hebrews, knowing who it was written to, this Hebrew population that knows the priestly language, but they are very comfortable in their faith. They grew up in the church. They were raised in the church. Does it sound somewhat familiar to us? So we're going to go into Hebrews 2, and I'm going to read the first four verses. So this is the writer of Hebrews writing to the Hebrew people. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have, what we have heard, so we do not drift away. So we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, who confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The Hebrew people were comfortable. They were comfortable where they're at. They were comfortable doing X, Y, and Z, and maybe they wouldn't do A and B. They were just very comfortable in what they were doing. And it was really interesting, that very first verse. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so we do not drift away. So that we do not drift away. What does it mean to drift away? Why would we drift away from God? I think there's a couple things that we might do. I think first and foremost, sometimes we get comfortable, just like the Church of Hebrews. We get comfortable in what we do. We come to church on Sunday. We maybe come to a Wednesday night study. We might go and serve somebody if we happen to see them walking on the side of the street. We get really comfortable. But for us to grow in our faith, we have to do something that's uncomfortable. We have to do something that challenges us. I was on Facebook and I saw one of these pictures that says, do something new every day. Do something that you fear every day so that you can grow. Have you ever done something that was scary? It caused a lot of courage. What happened after you did it? You probably gained something and you grew something. And if you tried it again, you grew a little bit more. And if you tried it again, you grew a little bit more. And it became something that was a part of you. So often, I think we get comfortable in our faith. And sometimes we drift away because we're comfortable. But I think sometimes we drift away because we don't realize it. We are unaware that we are drifting. Have you ever been in a boat? Ever been in a boat and you've been in the ocean, you kind of begin to drift left or right and right. And if you don't have a motor, you begin to drift. Drifting is something that we're sometimes unaware of. And I'll tell you, for me, I've been surfing a lot recently. The hurricanes are really good for surfing. That's probably all they were good for. And I went out with Sam Corlew. And I remember going out. I'm not a very good surfer, but I paddled out, and the rip current was taking me all the way south, really, really bad, and I didn't really realize it. I'm looking for the wave, and the sun is rising, and dolphins are jumping next to me. It's beautiful. But I begin to drift, little by little, and I don't notice it. I'm just trying to catch the wave. And I begin to drift and drift and drift, and I become unaware that I'm 300 feet down the beach. And what do I have to do? Go back to the beach, walk 300 feet back up, and try to go back out. I think in our faith, we sometimes are like that. We forget. We don't even realize that we are drifting. We think, well, I'll go to church the next week. And then next week comes by, well, I'll go the next week. And then next week comes by, and I'll go the next week. But we never get around to going. We are unaware that we are drifting. So the video I showed you earlier, you might have been aware of the balls being passed, but you might have been unaware of what was actually happening. So I'm going to play the second part of the video for you. So take a look. And it might be a little pixelated, but you'll be able to see it.
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Right in the middle. So often, we are unaware and we forget. We don't realize that we're drifting away towards God. We don't realize that there's a moonwalking bear. We are so unaware at times. And my question for you is, where are you drifting? Are you drifting in your ability to be here at church? Do you think maybe I'll go the next week or the following, or next month I'll go every week of the month? But in reality, when you get there, you're just like, well, church attendance, I have not been to church in 4 months. Or maybe it goes to stewardship. Maybe after this, you're like, I'm definitely going to give some money to the church because that's a good thing to do. And I feel transformed because of Wally and Pam's story. But you get back home and I'll do it next week. I'll hear another story. And then next week goes by and you'll say, I'll do it next week. And then the following week, and then it kind of drifts away. Or maybe it's in your service. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to care for the children in children's ministry. And I'm going to talk to Angie. But then next week, you kind of begin to drift, and you begin to drift, and you begin to drift, and it falls off the plate. Where are you drifting in your faith? Now, I don't say all of this so that you can feel terrible about yourself. I don't want you to go into a shame spiral because I haven't done the church and I haven't given and I haven't done this. I don't want you to do that. But the Holy Spirit is probably speaking to you right now. Where are you drifting? Where are you falling away from God? Where have you been unaware that you're drifting this way? Because we all have it. We all drift in some way. But the Holy Spirit convicts us and calls us to see that moonwalking bear within our life. So where are you drifting? So how we're going to close is I want you to think about it for 15 seconds or so, about what's one place that you've drifted, and what is one thing you can do this week, just one thing you can do this week. It can be as little as something or as big as something. It doesn't matter. What is one thing you can do this week? And I want you to share it with the person next to you. Because next week I'm going to ask you a similar question. I'm going to try to keep you accountable to doing this one thing. Okay, what's one place where you could stop drifting and do something about it? Okay, go for it. Okay, was that hard? That's pretty tough. But the whole purpose of sermons and coming to church is not just to be here and enjoy a wonderful sermon that hopefully is good and entertaining, but it's to have your life transformed. That it might stop you from drifting and drifting and drifting, but it's the purpose of a sermon is to call you into action, to do something about it. So next week, I'm going to ask you the same question, but I'm going to ask you it in a little different way. What did you do last week about growing in your faith? And I want you to mention that one thing. And the person next to you, you can keep them accountable. And if they don't do it, I don't yell at them. But you can say, hey, you told me you were going to keep yourself accountable to this, and did you do that? Our goal is to grow in our faith. And if we come and listen to a sermon and nothing happens, I might as well not have given a sermon. So my question for you is, where are you drifting? And can you actually do that goal this coming week? Let us go to God in prayer. God, you call us into action. You call us to not drift, but you call us into closer relationship with you. And we know that there's no stagnation. There's no standing still in the ocean. You're either growing closer to God or growing further away from God. So help us. Help us notice the ways in which we drift and convict us by your Spirit. Speak to us those little whispers and call us to do something, whether it be attending church, helping the other, whatever you might call us to do, speak to us through your Spirit and keep us accountable to doing it this week. Amen.